evolution kicks in and other fish actually see it as a food. But I don't know how long that takes. I'm just a chef, bro. I just cook and I know things. That's about it.
Hello, and welcome back to The Food Fix, the show where I talk to lots of different folks about innovative ways to better feed the world. I'm your host, Anna Leonis, and oh my gosh, I'm about to shove so many lionfish facts into your brain, you are not ready. This fish is fascinating. It's a predator that seriously lives up to its name. So they're native to the South Pacific and Indian Oceans, but they're an invasive species in the Atlantic, the Gulf of Mexico, and the Caribbean, and it's really become a serious problem. Now, it wouldn't be so bad if they didn't reproduce at an insane rate. Like, we're talking 30,000 eggs every 3 to 4 days. And these are primo eggs, too. They have, like, a toxic coating surrounding them, preventing them from being eaten. And just like lions are king of the jungle, lionfish are king of the reefs. They consume large amounts of fish that clean and maintain the coral. So that leads to overgrowth of algae and unhealthy reefs. And worst of all, they don't really have any predators in the area they invaded. But there is one thing that has stood up to the lionfish. Hungry humans. Lionfish has become a delicacy in the Cayman Islands. So I got to talk with Thomas Tennant, a chef on Grand Cayman, who has mastered the dish of lionfish.
Yes, I'm Thomas Tennant. I am the chef owner of Tom Foodery Kitchen in the Cayman Islands. I've been in the industry for just over 20, it's now 23 years. Went to the University of Delaware for school, went to Switzerland for school, went to Johnston & Wales for school, all hospitality and culinary related. And then my first major job that I stuck with for a while and it kind of transformed my life is when I was working with Michael Schwartz of Michael's Genuine. And then from there, he sent me down to the Cayman Islands in 2010 to head up his second restaurant. And I stayed here for about 3 years. Started the lionfish thing, got involved with a lot of the, obviously, good relationships with farmers and anybody who, any resident, local, fisherman, you name it. I was just trying to create good relationships here.
You came to the Cayman Islands in 2010-ish.
Yep.
So by that time, the lionfish had been already officially an invasive species.
Oh, absolutely. And I didn't really know about it. The lionfish thing didn't come on my radar until October 2010. That's when I was approached by Jason Washington, who owns a dive company called Ambassador Divers, and the Department of Environment. And I've heard they had a tournament previously with another restaurant. And so I wasn't the first, but I was the most willing to like just stick with it. And that was really, that's all that really was the biggest difference. Because, and even now, there's only one other restaurant for sure that serves it, and it's Tucka. And he was pretty much the first. But I think the biggest difference is like we had a lot of marketing behind us. We served it for a food festival called Taste of Cayman. I did some West Indian lionfish chowder. So I took the idea of a New England style chowder, had a bunch of produce that I could work with here, and I put it together into what I thought was delicious, and it was.
Lionfish isn't your first invasive species you've cooked.
So in a technical sense, my first invasive species of cooking was the Australian pine tree. Because at Michael's, we had a pizza oven sourcing local wood. We're like, well, that pine tree is pretty good. We have all of those in Florida. They're invasive, so they're invasive here. And so I got a few of my staff members would be like, yeah, I'll cut some trees down.
And then you moved on to the green iguana?
Yeah, lionfish and then the green iguana. When that became an issue, the DOE jumped on it real quick. And within 4 years, they pretty much controlled it to the point where the program is kind of done.
How'd you serve that?
That one was, we either did like a chicken wing style with the legs or the tail. I enjoy making pâtés, so I made a rillette from the tail. I did a similar like to duck confit, but with the iguana.
You're kind of like the invasivore chef.
Yeah, I try to be. I mean, everything is almost invasive here. Let's just be honest, like even the cats. And now we have a cat problem in the Cayman Brac.
Oh, no.
Don't worry, I won't be eating the cats.
No plans for that.
No, not at all.
What was your first reaction to serving lionfish?
But what started off as with the DOE and Jason was to say, hey, we're going to start something. You want to be a part of it? I'm like, sure, let's see what it's about. You know, I didn't really know about lionfish. I didn't know about the invasive species of it all. I just knew we work with the local community. We work with farmers and producers and ranchers and anybody that's producing something good and in the area, and we use it. So we're an ingredient-focused restaurant. Cool. That's easy. So this is an ingredient. It's a fish that's here. And it comes to the story about being a problem. And the idea of being the solution is kind of cool. Even though we were the problem. We created the problem. Now we have to create a solution.
How are you the problem?
Well, the problem is when people get these exotic fish that are Indo-Pacific fish, and they're not, this is why they're invasive. They don't belong here. They got here because people who love exotic fish in their aquariums, you know, and it gets released by accident, whether on purpose or by accident, it's just irresponsible. And so from two fish, now we have a big problem. I mean, as much as we can control it, it's never going to go away. I mean, maybe it will one day when evolution kicks in and other fish actually see it as a food, but I don't know how long that takes. I'm just a chef, bro. I just cook and I know things. That's about it.
I mean, you've made some progress so far with your efforts.
Yes. So what we've done is that we just sent them, use our platform and our abilities and the whole idea of like me cooking and using the restaurant and be like, you know what? You should try this fish. It's delicious. Oh, we trust this guy. He knows how to cook. He's not going to try to poison us. But yeah, of course not. I want to be in business. So try this fish. It's delicious. Oh, it's a great ceviche. Oh, I heard it was toxic. And it's like, no, it's venomous. And only the venom exists on certain spines on the fish. And it's not even in the spine. It's on the spine. As long as you don't get poked, you're good.
Was that good enough for people? Or were they still a little bit nervous when you first started serving?
Oh, man. There was a bit of unease. Because it's like, yeah, this is a venomous fish. I'm like, look, this venom is protein based, and it's all what we did was we educated. And as much as people don't want to learn, especially when they're having dinner, it's cool to put a good story behind it so that you can be like, hey, we're not just serving a fish to serve a fish. We're serving a fish to make a solution. Even though this fish is beautiful in the water, it's creating an imbalance in the marine biodiversity. What that does is that it will eat other fish. Fish won't eat it. All the fish are not on the reef. The reef needs to maintain its health because of the other fish that maintain the reef's health. If there's no fish to maintain the reef's health, the reef dies. Dead reef equals no fish. No fish and no reef means no diving. And that's like a strong thing of the Cayman Islands. Our diving is beautiful. And people come here for the beautiful diving and the beautiful reefs and the accessibility of all. Now, if that dies, well, that's another sector of our tourism that's done. So, like, this is a problem that we need to solve and combat really quickly. Sending that out and telling people about it and the solution, and it's delicious. Hey, man, like, it's a win-win-win-win-win in a way.
Will you talk a little bit about the diving tournaments that you do? Because I think that's a really cool part of it.
Yeah, so together we started an organization called CULL. It's Cayman United Lionfish League. And like any other tournament, or in the States, they call them derbies. The parameter is simple. Form a team, go catch the fish, bring them back, and you get prizes. We created four categories: biggest fish, smallest fish, most fish by numbers, and most fish by weight divided by the number of people on your team. So it would be an average of what you got on your weight. And then from there, it was first, second, third. It took off really well because we have a very strong marine community of you know, dive masters and dive operations and people with boats and people that are just interested, like weekend warriors. We have a ton of them here. In the beginning, when we were talking, the DOE was trying to make a case that this is a problem and that better action needed to be taken because they had just, at some point this century, in the 2000s, they had banned the use of spearing, spears and spear guns. if you had a spear gun or a spear gun license, it was grandfathered. You can hold on to it, but no new applications. Once your license expired or didn't get renewed, that was it. You were done. No more spear. So it became an issue because the only way to catch these fish was literally with two nets. And I wish I could do the motion, but it was literally like taking them together and just like catching them with a net. Oh man, we couldn't catch anything. We would never catch up. So, and if I remember correctly, the rate of success with the nets was very high, but the amount that you can catch in the time that you have is super low. With the spears, the rate of success in catching them dipped, but the amount that you can catch was higher.
Now, this law has since been changed, and the Department of Environment made spear licenses available for divers over 18. So divers can poke the fish now, and the effort of reducing lionfish population is much easier.
So obviously with a spear, you have to get pretty close, and you have to have a sure shot. If you miss, the fish starts to get a bit smart. So they'll start to recognize the diver as a threat. They look at the diver as a predator now.
So these lionfish are smart.
Yeah, they ain't dumb. They're evasive too. And the way, it's so funny because the way they can actually maneuver around the reef is quite interesting. They can actually be upside down, and they'll be up on the reef hiding, and you wouldn't even know it. It's absolutely nuts. And so when you have to look for them, you have to be very vigilant and actually go a little bit lower and look up under the reef so you can see if they're hiding. So with the tournaments, we had a really good turnout. Then we get better turnouts. And then we were like, you know what? This is great, but we need to turn other restaurants onto this. Because like one tournament we caught, man, I think it was 1,100 fish. It was like nearly 900 pounds of fish. And that I still have a picture of like 9 coolers in my kitchen full of fish. So then we started approaching other restaurants to be like, hey, we would love for you to host a lionfish tournament. And this is the parameters. This is how it works. Registration starts on Friday. The two weigh-ins are Saturday and Sunday. During those times, you need to serve samples of fish so people can enjoy them. You can also keep the fish that we catch. Just make sure you give us some samples to eat, and then you can also sell your fish, like sell the fish as food. All right, this works because not only are they putting the work in, the restaurant's putting the work in the labor, they're making money from it, and they're becoming part of the solution. And so it was all about involvement. And that was a big part of the process of making sure that everybody was involved and becoming part of the solution.
Would you say it's like a Cayman staple now to go to a call tournament?
Yeah, we have a good community of people that are consistently coming to the tournament. So whether they're participating or just coming to eat and drink and just have good camaraderie with each other, because you know we're all in it. And the good thing, this is both good and bad. The good thing is that the lionfish numbers have decreased. So thusly, there's less catching. So the tournaments have to become less frequent. Though it's like, oh, it stinks. We don't get so many fish. It's actually, that was the point, is that we keep our yard clean. We just make sure that our reefs are healthy. And that's the point. And we have fun in the meantime.
I love that mission.
We honestly think that they're just, I don't know if they're becoming smarter or there's just less of them. Because the last time we had to go diving, we had to go at about 80 feet on average to find some good sized ones in the more popular dive sites. And so we just have to make sure that we keep them at bay.
Are you a diver yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. Love it.
Do you ever participate, or is it typically you have to be cooking?
No, mostly cooking.
Well, even if you can't catch them, you can cook them, so.
Bingo.
What's your favorite way to cook lionfish?
So far, it's been ceviche. It's like one of the best fish for ceviche. It's soft, delicate. It has a really good flavor because most of the, if its diet is any little reef fish, because of its gluttonous behavior, it will eat anything. So any juvenile fish, any small lobster, any small crab, And so we're just like, okay, well, it tastes really good because it eats really good things.
Is it comparable to any other fish in flavor?
Flavor-wise, it could be just like a cleaner, more succulent type of snapper. It's weird because if it's a young, if I can compare it to a very young snapper, that'd be comparable as ways as for taste and texture, but it is much softer. And to be honest, it doesn't perform well on a grill. Snapper will do well on a grill. This thing just falls apart. It's better if you fry it. Fry it, poach it, put it in a soup, ceviche.
Sounds really good. I'd love to try, but I'm miles north.
Well, where are you right now?
Michigan.
Ah, very miles north. I was going to say,
yeah.
It's sometimes available in New York and in D.C.
I heard that, but it probably isn't as good as fresh.
Yeah, no. You're just going to have to either go to Cayman or go to the Bahamas.
I know what I'm doing for spring break now.
Thank you to Thomas for the wonderful conversation. Check out Tom Foodery if you're ever in Grand Cayman. You can also check out his website, tomfooderykitchen.com, where he sells a variety of exotic hot sauces. Thank you to the Freezer Bees for the theme song of this show. And thank you to the Knight Center for giving me a platform to invade people's minds with cool food topics. I will catch you in the next episode. Until then, I've been your host, Anna Leonis.
All about it. Should I cry alone?